Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Dassault Systèmes second quarter 2016 financial results call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A short overview will be given, followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise that this conference is being recorded today. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, François-José Bordonado. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you for joining Thibault de Tersant, Senior EVP and CFO, and Pascal Desroches, EVP Brands and Corporate Development, to discuss our 2016 second quarter and first half financial performance. This conference call follows our webcasted presentation earlier today in Paris. For your information, Dassault Systèmes financial results are prepared in accordance with IFRS. We have provided supplemental non-IFRS financial information and reconciliation tables in our earnings press release. Some of the comments on this call will contain forward-looking statements that could differ materially from actual results. Please refer to today's press release and to the risk factor section of our 2015 document référence. Revenue growth figures are in constant currencies unless otherwise noted. I would now like to introduce Thibault de Tersant.
Thank you for joining us here, and good morning and good afternoon. I would like to welcome Pascal Desroches and thank him for participating to the call today in place of Bernard Charest, who is on a business trip that he couldn't move. Let's begin. Looking at our financial results for the second quarter, they were very well aligned with our guidance, coming in at the high end. We were pleased with the performance from an EPS perspective, growing 12% excluding currency effects. We demonstrated our ongoing focus on underlying operating margin performance. We also had strong recurring software revenue growth, but while new licenses revenue growth was solid at 6% excluding currency effects and in line with guidance, it is not exactly where we want to be. However, I don't have far to look to see the type of new licenses revenue growth we can generate, and I see it ahead in the second half of 2016. In that regard, there was progress in a number of areas in the second quarter that illustrate where we are going. Let's begin with 3D Experience, where our momentum is clearly evident. We are continuing to put up key strategic wins with our 3D Experience platform and industry solution experiences across a number of industries, including transportation and mobility, aerospace and defense, industrial equipment, high tech, energy, process and utilities, marine and offshore, and more. From a client perspective, we are working with global leaders and also startups and small companies who are benefiting from 3D Experience. Second, our diversification industries delivered strong results in the second quarter and first half. It is clear that we are building momentum in the different industries. We will share with you today our progress in energy, process and utilities, and overall diversification results. Third, Innovia has been a key contributor to the growth of 3D Experience sales and our industry diversification. Innovia's portfolio is addressing both product development and business processes. It is clear that it has a strong momentum in the marketplace against competitors, with a 75% win ratio on deals which are over half a million EUR. Fourth, we are seeing strengthening in the professional channel with SOLIDWORKS, delivering strong recurring software revenue and improved new licenses revenue growth. Looking to the future, we have also strengthened our offer for clients with two acquisitions. As part of our global industrial operations, we completed the acquisition of Ortems for manufacturing scheduling, a very critical area for companies. This morning, we announced the extension of our multi-physics capabilities with the signing of a definitive agreement to acquire CST, the technology leader in electromagnetic simulation. Finally, we are reconfirming our 2016 financial objective. From an activity perspective, the year is unfolding as we anticipated, with a first half led by recurring software revenue, and the second half evidencing a very strong acceleration in new licenses revenue, with 3D experience, industry diversification, and improving performance of SolidWorks, as I have highlighted. We anticipate new licenses revenue to increase double digits in constant currencies in the second half of this year. Turning now to our second quarter, we delivered total revenue growth at the high end of our constant currency range. We saw a rebound in software revenue growth on improving new licenses revenue growth and strong recurring software results. In total, software revenue significantly strengthened, up 7% in the second quarter. Operating performance was also in line with our objectives. Our second quarter operating margin of 30.4% expanded 100 basis points compared to the year-ago quarter. Finally, EPS is on a nice trajectory of double-digit growth excluding currency impact, up 12% in the second quarter. Turning now to a regional review, two of our three regions delivered double-digit new license revenue growth, the Americas and Europe. In the Americas, we benefited from large deal activity and growth at SolidWorks. In Europe, several geos were key to the strong new licenses revenue growth, including Northern and Southern Europe, as well as France. And again, direct sales did very well. In Asia, while we did have a strong base of comparison, we see the macro environment in South Korea, and importantly, the link with China affecting business investments, as we outlined last quarter. In EpiSouth, renewed weakness in mining and related industries is hurting results. And in India, I think the results reflect a combination of macro as well as the need to improve our execution and an ongoing volatility in India from a quarter to another. In total, software revenues increased 4% in Asia. Let me now turn the call now to Pascal Dalloz to begin with a brand review, as he leads this area at Dassault Systèmes.
Thank you, Thibault. Hello to all of you. It's my pleasure to join the call today, and it was great to meet with some of you during the Capital Market Day in Paris last month and earlier today in Paris. Turning now to the product line review, a number of our brands are at the double-digit growth in terms of software in the second quarter, including Enovia, SolidWorks, Simulia, Delmia, and Exalead. Beginning with Ketia, its software revenue increased 1% in the second quarter. Recurring software was very much in line with plan, and new licenses activity reflected the timing of investment by clients in transportation and mobility. Enovia has now posted 4 quarters of double-digit new license revenue growth. Combined with recurring revenue performance, total Enovia software revenue increased 13% in the second quarter. SolidWorks software revenue increased 13% in constant currency, mainly due to the strong growth in recurring software revenue on the improvement we had in maintenance renewal last year and growth in new license revenue. In addition to growth with existing clients, SolidWorks is seeing increased competitive wins from other 3D players where companies are moving over to our products. Our software increased, the others, by 10% in constant currency on strong growth for Simulia, Delmia, Quintic, and Exalead. Biovia was in line with our expectations, and Geovia was lower on the difficult mining industry conditions. Moving to our 3D experience platform and industry solution experiences, we are seeing good traction and momentum. But I like data, and the data tells the story. Our 3D experience new license revenue is up 68% in constant currency in the first half of year 2016, and its contribution to the new license revenue mix is increasing to 33% for the first half of this year, up from 20% in the year 2015's first half. In aerospace, BAE System is an example of recent customer adoptions of our 3D experience platform to transform how aircraft are designed and developed through improved collaboration, leading to better decisions and more timely decision-making by getting the right information to the right people and using the model-based engineering solutions. Safran Transmission System, a key supplier to aerospace industry, has deployed 3D experience and has indicated that they are achieving productivity gains on the order of 30% using our co-design to target industry solutions with the 3D experience platform as their central source of information and dashboarding monitoring. One of the key drivers of the 3D experience growth has been Enovia. Its traction has been increasing over the last four quarters, as I mentioned, leading to new license revenue growth of 34% in the second quarter and a similar level for the first half, up 32%, both figures in constant currency. Enovia has been progressively strengthening its market position by numerous of key decisions and many competitive win-backs. To help you understand what Enovia covers, there are six primary domains: strategic customer relationships, supplier relationships, product planning, global product development, IP classification and security, as well as quality and compliance. Based upon our strategy, our goals are to expand the product development and business users in our core industries, as well as in our diversification industries. Think of merchandising, formula management, packaging, reaching different business managers who are key to the successful product developments and customer experience. Two customer examples include Samsung Electronics in the semiconductor space, adopting our silicon thinking industry solution experience to drive and improve development environments, efficient cost management, and decrease time to market through improved collaboration and data management. Chevron, developing additives that go into fuel and lubricants, is using our perfect product industry solutions, embedding Enovia's formula management software. Key business goals are to improve the overall development process, thereby increasing productivity through reduced time, reduced costs, and increasing product innovation. As Thibault highlights, diversification is a dynamic growth driver for Dassault Systèmes. Diversification industry represents 31% of the first half year 2016 software revenue, led by growth in energy process and utilities, high-tech, and marine and offshore. Last quarter, Bernard reviewed the marine and offshore dynamics with you. Let me spend some time today on energy process and utilities. We have a good dynamic in power, where we are working with companies ranging from renewable energy to hydroelectric dams and to nuclear plants, where we are helping customers bringing new innovation and increased safety at the same time. Among our customers is NEP in Russia, where we are covering the full nuclear plant life cycle. In the nuclear energy industry, commissioning is a critical part of the nuclear plant coming on much faster, and it is equally important at the end in the decommissioning of the nuclear plants. As we are doing in other industries, we are partnering with key experts such as Assystem, which was announced at the recent World Nuclear Exhibition. And we are diversifying in process with metal and mineral, as well as with oil and gas. The momentum is visible in our financial results, where EP&U software revenue was up 15% in constant currency in the second quarter. Let me move quickly to review two acquisitions. In June, we acquired Ortems, a terrific company focused on a very important area of manufacturing execution management, production planning and scheduling. Our team is helping world leaders adapt on the fly to the changes occurring each and every day. This acquisition strengthens what we do in MES with Apriso, as our team is used to manage the scheduling. For instance, Airbus is using Apriso and our teams together, and of course, our teams well complement what we are doing with Quintix. Moving to simulation, this morning we announced plans to acquire CST, Computer Simulation Technology, a privately held company headquartered in Germany. We have known them for a long time, and in fact, we formalized a partnership in May last year. And since then, we have been working closely together on a joint marketing and joint sales calls, in addition to mapping out product strategies. CST is essential for accelerating development of electronics and electrical systems from early concept stages through final validation. It provides a full electromagnetic simulation portfolio, including low frequency for electrical motor, for example, through high frequencies for electronics and antennas. Importantly, it is both the technology and market leaders in high-frequency electromagnetic simulation. In plain English, this means autonomous cars, smartphones, smart home, wearable electronics. Their technology also covers whole length scales from subatomic particles to full commercial aircraft. Clearly, CST complements very well our multi-scales and multi-physics technology. And combined with 3D Experience platform, it provides a complete virtual product experience for co-designs of the next generation devices. Some quick facts on CST financials and the transactions. Its revenue were about 47 million euros, with about 65% of its software revenue recurring. We expect it to be immediately accretive to the non-IFRS earnings. The purchase price in cash will be approximately 220 million euros. And subject to closing condition, we anticipate completing these acquisitions in September. We look forward to warmly welcoming them at that time and continuing our partnership activity in the interim. In summary, together with our 3D experience platform and industry solution experiences, we well cover smart and connected experiences, spanning smart design, smart mobility, smart cities, homes, and smart energy. As IoT and smart objects become more pervasive in all the sectors of the economy and require new levels of safety and certification processes, we are well placed to be an integral partner to a company across a number of key industries in both our core and diversification verticals. Altogether, the acquisition fits very well with our missions of harmonizing product nature and life, where in a world of more and more connected objects all around us, we can help our clients ensure that health and wellness are protected. With that summary, let me pass the call back to Thibault.
Thank you, Pascal. Let me quickly go through some key points of our financial review since I covered some major points up front. First, the key takeaway for software is the return to new licenses revenue growth, which increased 6% in the second quarter. While this was in line with our plans, I believe we can do much better, and this is our plan for the second half of the year with very good growth of new licenses revenue. Second, recurring software, it is performing very well and represented 71% of total software in Q2 and 72% for the first half. We saw an excellent performance all around the world and in most industries in terms of maintenance subscription performance. Third, our focus in core services is on expanding our partnerships with system integrators in order to grow our potential services capacity. In some of our new businesses, services is a key portion of the business, and here we had mixed results, particularly with 3D Excite. Services represented 11% of our total revenue, decreasing 3% in the second quarter, but are higher by 2% in the first half. While we are increasing our overall operating performance, doing so in services requires being able to improve our resource allocation management, working with system integrators, having sufficient capacity in emerging countries and managing resources and expertise among all our brands. Turning now to our operating performance, it was very good in the second quarter, with our operating margin increasing 100 basis points. Currency had a net negative impact of about 20 basis points on our second quarter operating margin. Just a reminder, for the full year, our underlying operating margin growth target is about 50 basis points, excluding currency impacts, as we planned our investments to be back-end weighted, and this aligned with our revenue growth. In the second quarter, non-IFRS earnings per share increased 12%, excluding negative currency headwinds of 4 percentage points, thanks to our revenue and operating performance. Our earnings results and balance sheet management translated into very solid growth in cash flow during the first half of this year, increasing 8% to $449 million. Unearned revenue totaled €933 million, an increase of 12%, excluding currency impact. Turning now to our outlook, as we outlined in this morning's earnings press release, we are reconfirming our 2016 financial objectives. To be clear, we are reiterating the level of activity we saw in February when we set our guidance for 2016. While it is true that during the second quarter, our reported revenue benefited by about $10 million from currency compared to the guidance, this will be used up, so to speak, by higher currency assumptions headwinds in the second half of the year in our updated guidance. Let's go through it. First, we are reconfirming our non-IFRS revenue growth objective of 6-7% in constant currencies. On a reported basis, we are bringing up the low end to €2,990 million and retaining the high end of €3,015 million. So the midpoint of this range moves up by €3 million to €3,003 million based on the addition of our TEMS. For your information, currency has an estimated negative impact on reported revenues above 2 percentage points. Importantly, while the Japanese yen has moved in a favorable direction, we of course hedge a portion of our revenues, so of the estimated 13% of our revenues denominated in Japanese yen, approximately 6 of the 13 are not hedged. For your further information, the 7% of our yen-denominated revenues that are hedged at a rate of about 100.6 yen per euro for 2016, compared to an average rate of 134.6 yen per euro in terms of yen exchange rate for 2015. On the other hand, the British pound has weakened significantly, with our non-hedged portion representing about 4% of our revenues. We have provided a very detailed bridge on the different currencies and total foreign exchange impact in our second quarter presentation, which is on our website. Second, we are reconfirming our operating margin of about 31% for 2016. And third, we are retaining our earnings per diluted share growth target of about 7% or €2.40 per share. With currency, it is difficult to be precise, but what we do know is that if rates remain at our assumptions, we have EPS currency headwinds of about 4 percentage points on our growth rate. Fourth, this guidance range embeds double-digit new licenses revenue growth for the second half, in line with our expectations and confirming what we have said since the start of the year. Looking to the third quarter, our guidance is as follows: a non-IFRS total revenue growth objective of 6-8%, or about €715 million to €725 million, a non-IFRS operating margin of about 30%-30.5% and non-IFRS EPS of about 54 to 57 cents of euro. Excluding two tax-related benefits in the third quarter of 2015, our EPS growth rate, excluding the negative currency headwind, would be between 8 and 14% in terms of growth. We estimate a consolidated effective tax rate of about 2 percentage points lower this year compared to last year. Finally, we will include CST in our 2016 financial objectives after the completion of the acquisition and hopefully when we release third quarter earnings results. To conclude, we are looking forward to delivering a strong second half, leading to a good year of growth and progress. We are also investing in our technology, in our sales, and in our brands, which will animate our future results as we move into 2017 and beyond. We continue to focus on improving our execution and business processes. For sure, the strong second half will require very good collaboration and back-office support to ensure that transactions are completed on a timely basis. Finally, it is gratifying to see the traction, power, and success of our 3D Experience platform and industry solution experiences. Our goal remains to accelerate its success and replication with clients of all sizes. With that, Pascal and I are happy to answer any questions you have, and we would like to thank everyone for the questions earlier today on our webcast.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone now and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel that request, please press the hash key. Your first question today comes from the line of Susan Anthony. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon. Susan Anthony, Mirabeau Securities. Three questions, if I may. This morning you mentioned Brexit and said that you'd seen some UK deals being put on hold, but that you thought that they might or should close during the rest of the year. Can you give any indication of how material those deals were? I'm guessing they were quite small in the overall scheme of things. And then you also talked about possibly Brexit having more of a medium-term impact. Can you kind of elaborate on what you're thinking when you said that? That was my first question. And my second question would be wondering if there were any particular surprises for you during the quarter, whether positive or negative. And thirdly, can you talk a little bit about what's happened in Japan? I know you mentioned some other Asian markets, but maybe you could discuss developments there, please.
Thank you for these questions. So yes, we had a couple of transactions put on hold. It's not a lot, actually, you know, considering the event. These customers told us that they wanted to have the outcome of the referendum, and the reasoning was, in fact, in order to handle international projects, they wanted to be sure that they could continue to get the visas for for the people having to travel. So that was truly the reason. And when you see this reason, you also see that now that the event is delayed, it's very likely that these transactions will happen. What we deliver is of structural nature, you know, helping innovation, adaptation to markets of products. And so our customers will continue to be willing to invest in this technology, I am convinced. It was really just two transactions, you know, worth mentioning above 1 million euros each. I was mentioning a midterm impact, but I was also mentioning that this would could possibly be a macro impact. The extent to which this would affect Dassault Systèmes is not very clear, because what is much more important for Dassault Systèmes is our product cycle. And as we see the 3D scans ramping up, I think that, yes, of course, you know, we cannot be completely immune from a macro environment, but this does create a trend which historically always proved stronger than macro trends. You know, so I don't want to give the impression I am starting to have cautionary statements about 2017 or 18. It's not that. We believe absolutely in our five-year plan and 2019 objectives. I am not saying anything to the contrary of that. And I was simply referring to the fact that, in my view, if the Brexit has an influence, it's going to be more a macro influence rather than an immediate influence on the British market.
Okay.
But I'm trying to be an economist here, so I'm not exactly in my normal position. Please bear with me. You mentioned surprises during the quarter.
Mm.
We always are surprised here and there, you know. If I may, I would mention that we had very good surprises in the high-tech industry and in the marine and offshore industry as well. And that, on the positive side, what we do for cities, smart cities, is also probably even broader and better than what ourselves we were thinking, you know. When we look at it in the eyes of mayors and people in charge of smart cities. Maybe, Pascal, you want to add something on this front. But for me, you know, I really believe that our prospects of serving cities have greatly improved during the quarter, you know, based on what we were able to present.
In fact, we attended last week the World City Summit. And it was a major event because it was organized in Singapore. And as you may know, Singapore is the flagship project for us. And it's also the flagship project for the entire cities, because they are by far the most advanced. And the fact that they have selected the 3D Experience platform to basically control and manage the entire city, it's opening a new opportunity for us, especially in China. Because, as you may know, Singapore is the laboratory for the future Chinese big city. And in fact, we are seeing more and more tractions into this space. And the point is obviously interesting for the city opportunity per se, but this is also having consequences on the other industries we serve. Let me give you an example. You know, all the car makers are developing autonomous car, but at some point of time, they will realize that they need a virtual model of the city where this car will be used. Because you have to design the car in the context of the city, and this is becoming very, very critical. So clearly, this big city project is having, they are in fact having double impacts, the opportunity per se, but also on all the other industries having connected objects, and those objects need to basically interact with the context of the city per se.
And to finish on your question on surprises, we had two further good surprises, you know, the improvement of SolidWorks performance, and for us that's a good indicator, and the performance of the maintenance subscription renewals, which was also pretty good. On the negative surprises, I would mention Asia. You know, we were expecting a soft Asia. It was visible in our pipe at the beginning of the year, but I would say that in a couple of countries, it was slightly weaker than anticipated. But in Japan, it was not. It was essentially on plan. And what we see in Japan is certainly an appetite to invest in our domain and multiple very interesting wins with customers starting now in diversification industries. Historically, we were very much centered on our core industries in Japan, and this is changing now with very interesting new transactions. So I am actually quite positive on our prospects in Japan.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Jave Lechouvert. Please ask a question.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Thibault and Pascal. Thibault, let me start with you and mostly ask you to clarify some of the things you spoke of last month at the analyst meeting in your comments on your growth scenario for the next several years, particularly inorganic growth expectations. You spoke of assuming the acquisition of about 150 million euros a year for the next several years, which in itself is unusual in that you were specific that way. But I'm wondering if perhaps it would be more feasible or even desirable for you to just do one, let's say, $500 million transaction once instead of multiple smaller transactions, and perhaps you might find a more relevant strategic property that way than looking for multiple smaller things. And then for Pascal on the CTS acquisition, I would concur that you needed to have more direct exposure to the electronics design world, but is this the extent of your involvement or exposure to electronics or to electromagnetics? You think you need to broaden your exposure in the, let's say, non-mechanical or electronic side of engineering?
Jay, thank you for the question. My gut tells me that both are connected in your mind. I'm starting to know you after 30 years.
Not necessarily, but
20, I'm sorry. how should I say it? We have a lot to do, frankly, if we really want to implement our strategy. You have noted how broad it is. And so to complement it in order to accelerate it through acquisitions makes perfect sense. Where I am specific with a figure is because I believe that the best way for us to reach our goal is to essentially improve our organic growth by 5 points per year in average through acquisitions. However, I also demonstrated that we don't need them to reach our goal of doubling EPS. So I don't feel compelled to do them, which is very good. You are right. We are doing relatively modest insight acquisitions, and we like them because they come and complement our product portfolio in a nice manner. But we are not excluding larger transactions, It's just a question of finding the right fit from a culture, a strategy standpoint. And generally, the acquisitions we are interested in are not companies which are for sale, So they need to be convinced. And this can take time. So from a timing perspective, it's very hard to be precise, which is why, I am precise on an average figure that I believe would make sense for us. but I don't want to be precise on the timing of them and when exactly they can be realized. And I'm sorry, I'm not able to be more specific. Pascal?
Hi, Jay. To answer to specifically to your questions, I mean, for sure, EDA and the electronics market at large has been a topic of interest for us. But if you remember, the way we decided to basically penetrate this domain was first based on the life cycle. So the first priority for us was really to have the 3D experience platform and also Enovia being widely used to manage a life cycle into this industry. And I think we succeeded because with the silicon sinking solution, I think it's widely used in the semiconductors as well as in all the OEMs. So point number one. Point number two, we also took the decisions to come with a new capabilities, which is the system level definitions and simulations. And this is the reason why we have put a lot of emphasis to have some well-adapted solutions to do the requirements, the functional and the logical definitions of the products. And we didn't pay too much attention, except by partnering, on the physical definitions of the electronics part. Okay? And you notice that in recent activities, we are partnering with company. We announced a partnership with Altium early this year to combine Altium product suite with SolidWorks to tackle this IoT market specifically. And finally, with the CST, clearly the domain we really want to address is a multi-physics domain, because the most interesting part with CST is first their positioning in the high frequencies, which is, as you know, very key for all the electronics markets, but also our capability to couple it with other physics like structural, like fluids, like thermal, for example, for the heat transfer. So when you think about it, life cycle, system level definition and simulations, multiphysics, some specific points on PCB, more and more we are basically eating this domain by surrounding basically the traditional EDA market.
Okay. My second question, again, referring back to what was spoken of last month, is I think it was Bernard or maybe Bruno who mentioned the expectation that your indirect business would begin to grow more quickly than your BT business. And I wasn't sure if that was referring to VS only or VS plus SolidWorks, but if that's your expectation, is that largely a function of relatively easy comparisons because BT has grown so much? Or is there something more organic or structural going on that would lead to now relatively faster growth in your indirect business?
You know, right now, what we see is a better growth from our direct sales. It's what we saw last year, it's what we see this year, and it's very normal in a product cycle. Because when you do with a new version is you start by selling it to large companies before their ecosystems have to embrace it. So we are still very much in this mood where our direct sales are delivering the best growth. Now, if you look more, you know, long term, it is also true that we have left to our indirect channels a larger market share than the one we have taken or we are trying to cover with our direct sales, I should say. You know, so theoretically, the indirect channels have a broader territory where to play and should therefore, in the longer run, deliver a better growth, you know. So that's truly the reasoning, but we are not there yet.
Okay. My final question, again for you, Thibault, is to do with your the long-term evolution of your license mix, which is to say recurring revenue especially. Again, in one of your slides, you spoke of growing the proportion of your recurring revenue by about 50 basis points a year, which would get you to about, let's say, 75% recurring by 2019. And, you know, we've had this ongoing dialogue about that proportion, and that implied number from last month is less than what you spoke of as a target at the 2014 meeting. On the other hand, you also spoke about growing or making available your term licenses, pay per use, and generally seeing very rapid growth in your cloud users on the same slide, in fact. So I know that's a lot of moving parts, but how are you thinking about the growth of recurring from current model, new forms of licensing, and perhaps explain a little bit more all the dynamics that you spoke of in your revenue acceleration chart?
So in in the current model, I continue to see a better growth of our new licenses revenue than of the recurring revenue. I did a chart here for the Capital Market Day, simply to try to communicate something which is very arithmetic, meaning that when you sustain a double-digit growth of new licenses, you have a progressive acceleration of the recurring revenue. And the acceleration of the recurring revenue, in our case, that is coming from the dynamic of new license revenue, is essentially 50 basis points in terms of growth rate per year on the recurring. So not enough to completely change the balance, of course, you know. So in the current scheme of things, the proportion of recurring is not going to develop much. But there are two factors that should accelerate, actually, the recurring going forward. One factor is multiphysics, because the license mix is much more rental for multiphysics, and I really believe in our potential in multiphysics. And, of course, the last one is cloud, where, arguably, in our domain, the market is not yet fully ready, but we are seeing a significant interest from companies who would not install our software on-premise, and this is driving growth there. But some acceleration further would be needed in order to reach the 75% of recurring by 2019. It's not yet a completely sure prediction, if I may.
Thanks very much, Thibault and Pascal.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Monica Graf. Please ask a question.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. First is on the CATIA. The growth is, flattish and much lower than rest of the products. Could you maybe elaborate on that?
Oh, yes, of course. there is no faith whatsoever on the lower growth of CATIA. Actually, the growth of CATIA has been very healthy, going backward, I know that people have been skeptical for a long time about that. So in this first half, the reason for, I would say, a smaller growth on the CATIA side is a combination of Asia, where as you know, we are seeing a softer dynamic in the first half for multiple reasons. And Asia is very important for Katia because it's a region where they start their recruitment in PLM with Katia. And the second factor is also somewhat softer environment in transportation and mobility, and in a few countries also in industrial equipment in the first half. But frankly, when you look at the number of growth drivers we have with Katia in terms of diversification and more particularly in terms of going to the embedded systems and smart products in general, I really believe the growth drivers are there to reaccelerate growth for Katia. It's part of our expectation for the second half, actually. Pascal, maybe you want to add something on your favorite brand?
I will complement what you are saying, Thibault. We definitely have significant growth drivers for Katia. You were mentioning the system definitions, modeling and definitions for all the smart products, or all the embedded systems. It's something where, I mean, it's almost untouched as an opportunity market for us. I mean, and especially in the core industries where we have a room to significantly increase our presence. The second thing is all these new additive manufacturing technology, in fact, are impacting significantly the design. You know, most of you are seeing the impact on the manufacturing floor, but the truth is this is changing the nature of the design. And guess what? We put so much science and simulation capability in Katia that we are creating a significant gap compared to the competition on this front, because when you design, automatically you are doing some real-time topology optimizations, and it's something which is, again, a growth avenue for Katia. And if you refer to the recent communication we did, we signed a big contract with Airbus on this topic. Last but not least, as you say, all the diversification is also triggering the growth of Katia. And in the core, I would say the core mechanical industry, I want to draw your attention on something which is very important. The migration from V4 to V5, for sure Katia was the first one to migrate, and Enovia follow after. Here, with the 3D Experience platform, it's the opposite. The customers are first migrating to 3D Experience platform and Enovia, and then they are migrating to Katia V6. And there is a profound reason for that. Because in the core mechanical industry, a lot of customers have developed, in addition to all the features we have developed as part of the Katia, the nominal product, some highly specialized functions. And the 3D Experience platform is capable to connect the legacy systems. So I'm telling you that because having a good momentum with 3D Experience platform, I mean, the growth for Q2 was 100%, is an early indicator of the growth for Katia. Because as soon as they have adopted the 3D Experience platform, it becomes very obvious for them that Katia V6 and all the broad scope of application we have is becoming basically a must. So for those reasons, we are pretty confident on the capability for Katia to continue to expand significantly.
Thanks for the detailed answer. Then, you know, while you were answering the last questions on the cloud that some customers will not buy on-prem, could you maybe talk about, you know, which of your products are completely cloud-ready and, you know, if there are any products which you are still looking to move to cloud offerings?
Thibault will complement, but when you look at the solution portfolio, right now in V6, two-thirds of them are already available on the cloud. And so basically, we have we almost have the equivalent function available on the cloud than on-premise, point number one. Point number two, the cloud is relatively well used by all the company being project-based. And the two key or three good examples are all the construction, architect and construction companies love the cloud because when they have a project, they can massively use it. And when the project is terminating, basically they adjust their usage. It's also true for the design office, all the stylists, same story. Basically, you have a number of, I will say, not niche, but complement segments. We are not capable to touch with the traditional on-premise solutions we are addressing now, and it's really a suitable business model for them.
Got it. Thanks. Then just last one on the currency. Thibaut, if I look into your presentation on slide 44, for Q3 and full year 2016, euro to dollar conversion rate, you are assuming 1.15 for Q3 and 1.13 for 2016. But dollar has depreciated quite a bit, right, if you look right now in the market. So won't that provide a good tailwind both for Q3 and, you know, 2016, second half 2016?
Well, it's still volatile, you know. So, yes, there is some benefit right now compared to the assumed rate in the guidance at 115. But frankly, the dollar can go back to 115 in a couple of days. So so it's a hard call to take if you want.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Michael Breeze. Please ask a question.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just a couple of follow-ups from me. I think you mentioned SolidWorks licenses grew. Can you give any sort of context on that? Obviously, you've called out some of the other businesses, but how significant was it relative to the overall license growth of 6%? And then just in terms of subscription, you've talked about introducing that for SolidWorks at the back end of the year. Where are you in firming up those plans?
Yes, Michael. For the quarter, SolidWorks licenses grew by 7%. But there was an acceleration towards the end of the quarter, you know. So it is becoming, in our view, a pretty positive indicator compared to first quarter. And this acceleration is also happening in North America, you know. So it's we see it in a positive manner. Let's put it that way. And yes, we are introducing subscription with our next release. So potentially in earlier November.
And in terms of the price point, can you say anything about how its equivalence works out?
So the price point for subscription is going to be our good old and usual formula where the payback is over a three-year term.
Okay. And then if I could
we
just
are
ask...
also introducing, by the way, a beta for our browser-based X-Design solution, you know, which is SolidWorks, you know, on browser in the same time frame. And it will only be available on the cloud on a subscription.
Okay. And then I was just going to ask you on the comments this morning about licenses being stronger in Q4. You had a good finish last year. I mean, license growth was 11% year-on-year. I think Atea was up 13%, Innovia 24%. Obviously, those comparatives don't daunt you in any way. I guess I'm looking for reassurance there.
We are well aware of the strength of Q4 last year, you know, and the computation we do is not truly, you know, a percentage compared to last year. It's an analysis of the pipe, and with a success rate and a very precise analysis, because we have strengthened a lot, actually, the visibility over the pipe and how we classify opportunities and rank them by likelihood of closure, you know. So, it's always stressful to have a back-end loaded year, but it's a guidance we believe in. Mm. You know, we have all the data to support it.
And then just two quick ones from me: the 11 million of exceptionals and 6 million of finance exceptionals. Can you say what they relate to? Given that we haven't had any acquisitions for a long time.
Yes. Actually, we are. spoke about the need to modify some profiles in our services teams, you know, to adjust to system integrators, and so what we decided is to implement a plan for early retirement. And so what you see in third quarter is in fact the first charge that we take because we have actually announced the plan, so we don't have yet the first result coming from it, so we'll see how many people decide to take it up. But we are doing it, and there is a cost associated with the early retirements that we have decided to offer.
Could it be much more in the later quarters, or is that the charge?
No, it's going to be spread over 1 year and certainly not more in future quarters, probably slightly less.
And then just finally, I mean, on the currency, there's a 15 million impact year to date in H1. The guidance is 15 for Q3, but it's 60 for the year, and I'm just trying to work out why it would be 30 million in Q4 when, you know, the dollar, yen, even pound, euro didn't really move much between Q3 and Q4 last year.
You succeeded to lose me in your comment, Michael.
So the currency headwind for the year is, what is it, 2%?
Yes.
But for Q3, there's about a 15 million euro gap. And H1, it was 15 million. So for Q4, it's going to be 30 million because that's what 2% of the full year revenue is.
Frankly, I don't have the exact absolute value of currency impact by quarter in mind. You know, I know the computation is right, and I am happy to take you through it.
I mean, Q4 guidance is 827 to 842, which is 3-5% growth year on year. Just given what you've guided for Q3 and the full year, and it's just
okay. Let me clarify that for you. I know it's very understandable, but let me see. So in Q4, on top line, we have a 3.5-point impact coming from currencies. Which means million, so you are not far. And so this is truly coming from the difference with our average rates in Q4 2015, you know.
But I mean, the dollar is, it was $1.11 in Q3 last year and $1.10, and it was 136 yen and 133 yen, and the pound wasn't significantly different. Don't worry, I'm sure we can just clarify offline.
Yeah, well, I mean, what we do is when we do this analysis, you know, we do it based on 15 different currencies. So what can I say? You know, I can take you through the 15 currencies if you want, but but I assure you it's a precise computation and accurate one.
I'm sure. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time, but as a gentle reminder, if you wish to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad.
Okay. Thank you very much for attending this call, and as always, you know, if you have follow-up questions, we'll be happy with François, José, Michel, and Beatrix to answer them. And otherwise, I wish you good vacation if you can have some rest. And we will reconvene for third quarter earnings release. Have a good day.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now all disconnect.